Shavuot world. Today's daf in the Masechet Shavuot brought to you on this 35th day of the Omer. My gosh, time is flying by. Is daf at Tet Zayin, and we're holding right at the top of the daf. Kol Shelo Naaseid Bechol Elo. Shavuot Tov to all. And remember that the Mishnah said that in the event that you didn't do all of the things that were written in the Mishnah when you were adding an area to the Beit HaMikdash, then it would not be Kodesh. So that was talking about all kinds of things. You need a Melech, you need a Navi, and you need the Urim V'Tumim, and you need the Shtei Todot, you need Sanhedrin, and it's like a whole list, and it says you need every last one of these things. There's a little bit of a problem. Because remember that although those things were learnt out from the Mishkan, the part about the two Todot and so on, that part was learned from the story in Nehemiah, about what Nehemiah did when he was actually, he said he was being remakadosh to Beis HaMikdash. But the problem is that if the Mishnah is saying that you need every last one of these things, then I got news for you. A big problem because Nehemiah didn't have all of those things. I mean, he didn't have the Urim V'Tumim. Remember that the Urim V'Tumim was actually hidden, but at the same time that Yoshio did. I mean, we didn't have a working Urim V'Tumim. We had, we had the actual big day kuhuna because that's Ma'akev, but there was no Shem Hashem that could be put in there that made it work that we didn't have. So, and he didn't have a melech also. I mean, so how in the world did he manage to do this? So that leads to a machlokas about how to understand the whole Mishnah. So, Itamar, Ravuna Amar, look, it says in the Mishnah here, there's Bechol Elu, right? So that's what it means. Kol Shelo Naaseid Bechol Elu. If you didn't do every last one of those things, and you were missing, let's say, a member of Sanhedrin, or you're missing the Shtei Todot, or you're missing the Urim V'Tumim, then it wouldn't work. Reb Nachman says, no, that can't be so. It would mean that if you didn't do one of these things, it was Bechol Elo, if you didn't use all this list, meaning taking one out of all of this list, then it wouldn't have been Chal. It would be Achat Bechol Elo. So what is this based on? So Ravuna says it means Bechol Elu, because I understand your problem. Your problem is that Ezra could not have had all of those things, which would have meant that there was no Kedusha in the second Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you're saying it must mean the Achat Bechol Elu, right? This is what Ravuna understands. But the thing is, what you don't appreciate is the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was Kodesh before Ezra did anything. He didn't need to do any of this. Why? Because the original Kedusha of Yerushalayim was a Kedusha L'Shaita and a Kedusha L'Atid Lavo. So that Kedusha was permanent. And even though there was a Churban, the Makom HaMikdash retained all of its Kedusha. And therefore, what Ezra was doing was simply Zecher Ba'alma Hudavad. He didn't change any of the Gvulais. He didn't change the location of any of the Chaimais. And therefore, he simply utilized the Kedusha that was there from before. And he went through all of these things with the full understanding that they're not really going to work because he doesn't have the Urim V'Tumim, he doesn't have a Melech. And therefore, we learn out what he did from at least things that he could do, like the Shtei Todot and the Sanhedrin, that we learn. But the basic limud is from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we understand that Ezra wouldn't have worked because he didn't have all those things. He was semich on the fact that the original Kedusha was intact. Reb Nachman, who says that any of the things in the Mishnah are sufficient, so he doesn't hold that. He holds that Kedusha Rishonah Kichela Shaita Velo Kichela Tidlovo, which would mean that the original Kedusha of Yerushalayim was bought. And therefore, it would mean that what Ezra did, he actually had to bring the Kedusha. Now, he couldn't have needed all of the things in the Mishnah because he doesn't have them. There was no way that he could get the Urim V'Tumim. So therefore, when it says Kol Elo, it must mean not that you need to use all of them, but that you need to use one of this set. So it's Be'achat Mikol Elutra. Therefore, it's inside, so he must hold kasavar. And therefore, he had no kedusha to be semech on, so he had to actually bring the kedusha, and he did. Even though he certainly didn't have the urim v'tumim, so how could he have done it? Must be that you don't need all of the things in the Mishnah. I don't understand how exactly you are reading the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Kol bechol elun." Do I not know how to read? It says, if you didn't do all of these things, then somebody who's nichnas lazara would not be chayev a korban oil of a yared. Why? Because it was not an iser d'oraisa. That's what it says. Says Rav Nachman, well, I mean, there's no way that that can be so, you know, because it's clear that Ezra did bring the kedusha, and he didn't have all of them, yet we have to read Tani be'achat mikol eila. The way to understand the Mishnah, Tosfos understands the Bechorah, that means to actually change the girsa, but I don't think that necessarily does. That's what people understand. But Lamaisa, many of the Rishonim speak out beferish. He's just explaining kol eila means from this entire set, but it means akas, from this set. Toshma. Okay, let's see. Seems to be a brisa that says beferish, like Ravuna, and that it means literally kol eila. Abba Shaul Omer, Shnei Bitzein Hayu Bahar HaMishcha, Tachtona Ve'elyona. So there were two, like, pools that were like swamps, where Rashi says marsh. There were marshes. So one was by the top of Har HaZeisim, and one was at the bottom. And one of them was Kadesh, so that the Tachtona, the one that was on the bottom, close to Yerushalayim, that was Nizkacha B'chol Elu, and it had a full Kedusha, and El Yalan Lo Nizkacha B'chol Elu, it did not have a full Kedusha. The only thing was that the ones that were Eile Geila, so that means that only in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, then the people that had come up from Bovel, they went ahead and added this by bringing it within the Chumah, but they didn't have a melech, and they didn't have an Urim V'tumim, and therefore it wasn't completely Kodesh. So the Tachton, Ashayta Kedusha Tagmura, so the bottom marsh, which was fully Kodesh, because they had originally used, even though this was an extension of the original Chumot Yerushalayim, but at the time that they made that extension, they had a melech, and they had a navi, and they had Urim V'tumim, they had everything that was necessary. So that was Kodesh. And there, interestingly enough, the Amei Ha'aretz, when they would have Kodshim Kalim, so obviously they would eat it there because, I mean, everybody, even the biggest tzaddikim, Talmidei Chachamim, were eating Kodshim Kalim there. But the Amei Ha'aretz were very machmir, you see. They're not going to eat a Meiser Sheni there. Why not? Because since it says that the Meiser Sheni should be eaten, Bifnei Hashem Elokecha, and they know that when they say Vidui Meiser, they say Asiti, Komashi Tzipitani, and that means that if they did that right, so then there's the Aser, Bechteshet Aser, they're going to get rich, you know. So they're not taking any chances about not getting rich. So they're going to be machmir because, I mean, obviously that would be like, you know, like missing a yizkor on yontav. I mean, you might as well not have the yontav at all, you know. So the kind of things that they believe in, which may not be important, but they're very important to them, you know, so they would not eat Meiser Sheni because that wasn't good enough for them. They had to eat Meiser Sheni in the actual Beis HaMikdash, in the original Chumot of Yerushalayim. They weren't going to take any chances about getting rich or not. Of course, the Chaverim, who, you know, they went according to the Halacha, they ate Kodshim Kalim and Meiser Sheni there because it was completely Kodesh, because the extension had been made with all of the necessary ingredients. We see clearly over here, the entire story is a description of all the ingredients, not one of the ingredients, right? I mean, that's the whole point. And the El Yonah, now the El Yonah, Shalor HaTakadur Shatakamura, That wasn't a full kedusha, the El Yoina. So there, with the Yami Haaretz, they don't care if it's a full kedusha. It's good enough. It's called Yerushalayim. I see the wall. Yeah, cut out with these chumras. You know, you have to actually have a kedusha. Yerushalayim, to kachim kalim. It's enough. You know, it's the chumah Yerushalayim. So they would eat kachim kalim there. Of course, not Maaser Sheni, because then you wouldn't get your bracha to be rich. Whereas, of course, the chaverim wouldn't eat not kachim kalim and not Maaser Sheni. So it's those who kept the halacha. So on the bottom one, they ate both kachim kalim and Maaser Sheni. And the top one, they didn't eat either. The Amei Haaretz didn't keep halacha. So they ate in both places kachim kalim, even when it was usher. And they wouldn't eat the Maaser Sheni, even if it was mutter. So it shows very beautifully, it just brings out so beautifully, the difference between the superstitious lives of Amei Haaretz and the real Hakpoda on the Dine HaTorah of Chaver. Now, the question is, why did they not bring Kedusha to the pool that was on top? Because they couldn't. And they didn't have all of those things, so they couldn't make it Kodesh. So Lama Kitchua, why did they make it Kodesh? Well, what's the matter with you, Lama Kitchua? You just said they didn't make it Kodesh. Drive me nuts over here. Amrit Lo Kitchua. I mean, Lama Yichnisua. Why did they build a wall around it, if that's just going to make people believe that it's good, it's going to be makshil them. So they shouldn't have built the wall either. They built the wall not for Kedusha purposes. They built the wall for security purposes. This was a very exposed area, exposed in the sense of being vulnerable. If people were going to attack Yerushalayim, it would be very easy place to attack. So they had to build a wall there. But there was no way to add to the Kedusha. But anyway, so we see over here clearly that it's all or nothing. I mean, either you've got all of these things or you cannot be Mekadesh Yerushalayim. So how's Rav Nachman going to explain this?
So, Rebbe, we're talking about the Western Wall, the Western Hill, where the Jewish quarters today? Is that what we're talking about? With extending walls that way?
No. We're talking much further east than that.
For the east?
Yes, we're talking about Har HaZeisim here, at the top of Har HaZeisim. Tanoi. Says the Gemara, the whole thing is about Chokas Tanoi. Because, remember, the Mishnah in Idyos, it says like this. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Shamati kishayu bonim behechal, osu klaim lehechal, uklaim lazarot. So when they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, they first put up curtains around the perimeter, the areas that they were building. So they had curtains around the area that was to be the Heichal when they would finish building. And they put curtains around the Azara that was to be surrounded by the Chomat Azara when they would be able to build it. The difference was that the Heichal, they put the curtains inside so that the walls were built actually from outside the curtains. So the workers would not be looking into the Heichal. They would be looking at the curtains as they built. By Azarot, they built the curtains around the perimeter where the wall would be. And therefore, the workmen would stand inside and they would be boning bifnim up against the curtains towards the outside. Omar Rabbi Yoshua. Now, but the Gemara thinks that this means whereas. You need to argue that Rabbi Yoshua said, I heard, Shamati, Shemakrivin Ava Pishain Bayit, you don't need any curtains. That's what he seems to be saying. You don't need any curtains. I heard that you could bring korbanos, even though there was no building at all. You could eat kachye kachim, even though there's no building around the Azara. All you need is that place. You don't need the Kedushas Mechitzes to be renewed by actual Mechitzes, because the Mokum is Kadesh. And you'd be allowed to eat anything in Yerushalayim, even if you don't have any walls. You can eat Kachim Kalim, Umayser Sheni, Afa Pisha in Choma, because the Kedusha of the Mechitzes of Yerushalayim, that was still there. Why? Kedusha Rishon and Kitchel Ashayta and Kitchel Atid Lavo. So apparently, if Rabbi Yoshua if we're correct, and assuming that Rabbi Yeshua is arguing on Rabbi Eliezer says they built only after they made these curtains. So apparently he held that you need to actually have Kedushat Mechitzot. So if you didn't have those curtains, you wouldn't be able to have the Kedusha. So apparently he holds that there was no Kedusha there from the original Kedusha, and therefore you had no choice but to first make a mechitza in order to have the Kedusha mechitza. Is that what it means? Lav mechlal, the Rebbe Eliezer sever lo kichel atid lavo. So you see, it's about machlokas tanoim, and that would explain why it is that you can't ask a kasha on Reb Nachman just because the Braita said that you need all of these things. If it's a machlokas tanoim, so then everything works out okay. I don't understand. What makes you think that they're arguing here, that you're assuming that there's a machlokas? I don't see any machlokas. Could be that everybody agrees. The Kedush Rishona Kichala Shata, Vikichala Tidlavo. It's very possible that everybody would agree that there is actually the Kedusha from before, and Ezra was just going through a Zikaron Dvarim, and Mar Mar Deshmi Aleko Amar. Each one is just saying what it is that I heard. So I heard you can bring korbonas without any kind of mechitzas. Rebbe Eliezer heard that they put up curtains in different locations, and they built, when it came to the Heichal, outside the curtains because they didn't want the workmen to be standing inside of the Mokum that was Kadesh with the Heichal and the Beis HaMikdash and so on. So they built outside. But, I mean, what does one have to do with the other? I understand why you think there's an argument, because it bothers you that Rebbe Eliezer is insisting that they put up curtains. That's what's bothering you, right? So since Rebbe Yeshua is saying you don't need any curtains, so then you were thinking, okay, so why does Rebbe Eliezer say you do need curtains? Because he held you out to be recreate the Kedusha Mechitzas, but that's not true. V'chitim, if you'll ask me, so then if that's where you understand it, they're not arguing, why the heck did Rebbe Eliezer say that you put up curtains? Who says you put up curtains for the Kedusha? Why can't you put up curtains for Tznius? Because, I mean, that was the whole point. We didn't want them looking into that Mokum. We don't want the place to be just open. Everybody looks in and so on. So that it's just, it's a covet not to be open. That's all. But it could very well be that it was only Litzniyut Abihalma, and therefore there's no Machlokas at all. Very possible. So how do you see a Machlokas tonight? Okay, I'll bring you another place, okay? But definitely it's a machlokas. Take a look at this. This is Hanya. Om Rabbi Yishma, Rabbi Yossi, Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elu. So what it's referring to over here is a whole list of different cities that the Mishnah actually talks about in Arachin, and it says these cities are Batei Arachayma. So if they're Batei Arachayma, that means that all of the halakas of Batei Arachayma applies to them. You know, the din of you, of how it is that you buy a bite to Batei Arachayma, that you only have 1 year, and so on and so forth, and then how to be paid to it, and the din that you can't, that it's usher for a mitzvah to be there. All those special dinim, they list a total of 8 cities. These cities are Kodesh for Batei Arachayma. So the question is, why only these? So it says Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yos, Lama Manu Chachamim Es Elu. So why did they list these? Because Kisha Alu B'nei HaGolah, when they came up from Bavel at that time. So Lamaisa, there were so many cities. We know that there were Shishim here alone in the area of the original Muhammad, the Yarden talks about all of those cities, Shishim Ir, and Kol Eilech, Omagvoha, and so on. I mean, like, what is 8 cities? There were so many. Why does it list these? Because when the Bnei Bavel came up at the time of the building of the second Meis HaMikdash, they found these cities, and Kichum, they were Mekadesh, these cities. So they identified these cities, and by identifying them, they went ahead and they were Kaddish them. So it's not clear how exactly they were Kaddish them, because Rashi asserts himself over here. He says, I don't really understand how they were Mekadosh them. The problem is that in that Mishnah, Rashi says they were Mekadosh them with the same idea over here of the Todot and so on, which that's very difficult to understand. You can't take Todot out of Yerushalayim to be Mekadosh Bote Yerichomer because it may be possible. Something is very funny about that Rashi. But anyway, here Rashi says, I don't know what the Derech was specifically to be Mekadosh Bote Yerichomer. But, continues on, the Braita. But this is all, remember, it's important to remember who said this Braita. It was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. We'll see in a minute that he was Seisar himself. So he says that the other cities from before, they all were Bato, the Kedusha, Bati Arechlima. That was Bato when the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael became Bato. Okay, so then that means clearly the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi holds Kedusha Rishona became Bato. So Kedusha Rishona Kichela Sha'atar. Below Kichela Tidlavot, there's no way out of that. He says it's a Beferish, right? And where do we see that there is another approach? Well, obviously, the other approach is Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. That's the problem. And Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi contradicts himself. Ramino. Omer Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi about this same Mishnah in Erechin. I don't understand. Why are we only listing these eight cities? Balok Kfar Nemar, just in the area of Og Melech HaBashan, it says that there were Shishim Ir Kol Chevel Argol Mamleches Og Babashan Kol Elu Arim Bitzurot Chomar Gvoha. These were all Batei Orei Chayma. So what are you telling me? There was only eight Orei Chayma in the whole Eretz Yisrael? Ela lama manu chachamim et elu, kishalu b'nei gola, matzu elu v'kitshum. Kitshum? You're about to tell me that you didn't need to be kitshum. What do you tell me kitshum? Hashtamrin lakam et alo tzricha v'kidushin. True. What I mean is matzu elu mina'um. The early Bavel had brought Barnea with them so that he would be able to identify these cities archaeologically. So eight cities he was able to identify. But not only had Nevi'im to be able to tell them where the Mokum Mizbeach was, they even had Barnea. The reason the Mishnah doesn't list Alpimelech, Manavi, and so on, Ubarnea, is because over there it was talking about the actual Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So they didn't need Barnea. But here, for the Shishimir, so they were only able to establish eight of them. But the truth is, Lo elo bilvad, alakoj etale biyadacha misarot miavotecha. As if you ever get a Kabbalah that people, there are some people that remember that this is a city that was identified as one of those Bati Arichayma from the time of Yoshua ben Nun, the din would be kol mitzvot elu nahagutba. All of these mitzvahs would be nohug without your needing to do any further kedusha. Why? Mipnei she kedusha rishona kichel shaita v'kichel ati lavo. Oh man, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is actually two tanoim. Isn't it a contradiction? Kasha Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. I mean, yes, it could be. We often find trei tanoi alibed Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. It could be that there were machlokas tanoim, that they were all is as part of that Beis HaMidrash, or it could be that even though it was quoted in the name of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, it wasn't really said by Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. It was said by Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, and it was stated as if it was Rabbi Shmuel, but that was a mistake, because we know that Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, actually, there's a braita that says Beferish, that's how he holds, because the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Asher, Lo, Choma. So that word Lo is written Lo, meaning no, and it's actually read as Lo. So there's a ksiva Lo as if it does have. So it's saying it does have, it doesn't have. Which way is it? So therefore, what it means is it does not have Lo, Choma, the way it's written. But it did have Asher Lo Choma, and therefore it has a virtual Choma. Why? Because the original Kedusha gave it a wall for all intents and purposes. The fact it doesn't have a wall now, That doesn't matter. Moshe Andel, your hand was up on purpose.
I wanted to know if archaeological evidence is
apparently
going to
not. It says kosher olo mesoret biyadecha. It doesn't apparently. It leaves out Tel Aviv U. I'm assuming that the Mishnah means bedavka.
Sorry, Rabbi, I must have missed something. What's the kedusha that they're going to achieve here?
That Bitzoroim are not allowed in, and that you have a din of being able to pay that in that first year, and all the takonas that were, and so on and so forth. I mean, the yonim that are specially mentioned in the Torah about as buying somebody who buys a home in an Ir Choma.
And that was achieved the first time when Yeshua came and he did the same thing? Or was that just through conquest the first
time?
That
is Yeshua.
But Yeshua just achieved it through conquest.
You mean the way in which the Kedusha was brought on it?
Yes.
No. We don't. I mean, Rashi says he doesn't know how. But remember that the Mokar of the Limud of Kedusha is V'chein Tasu L'Dorot, which means that we take from the Mishkan, which means that Yeshua would have needed to do the same thing, because it has to be done the same way that it was done with Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That was the original Mokar. The only thing that we learned out after that was the din of Shtei Todot and Barnea. So Shtei Todot, that we learned out from Ezra. But Lamaisa means that all of the Inyanim come from before Knesa La'aretz even. Anyway, so you see that it's Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi. He says very clearly that the Kedusha Rishena was Chal, and that it doesn't matter whether the wall actually exists. So he's apparently the one who holds Kedusha Rishena, remains Kedusha, even B'atid Lavo. Fine. Okay. Just to make it, by the way, just that you should be aware of the fact that things are not as simple as they appear over here, which is that, first of all, what we're talking about over here is Kedusha Rishena Mamish, but there's also a machlokas about Kedusha of the Olei Bavel. Same machlokas. If you hold that the Olei Bavel were Mekadesh, so then the question is whether that is also L'Atid Lavo. And there's many other sub-issues, which is there's differences between the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael as a whole versus the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. As the Rambam points out, that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is Kedusha Shechina, and Kedusha Shechina is in Batal, and so on. And then there's a whole other issue, which is a very harsh of a question, that Tosfos here goes into at some length, which is the difference between the Kedusha that is Negea, the Kedusha Sa'aretz for Trumas and Maisres, versus the Kedusha Sa'aretz, which is the question of Kedusha of Mechitzais. Those are not necessarily connected, says Tosfos here, and we know that there's obviously differences, Lagabi the Chiyuvim, in terms of Shemitah, Trumas and Maisres, Yovel, and so on, between also the population. How many people came back? Is it considered to be Kol HaShvatim? So these questions are not as black and white as they appear. Continues the Mishnah. Nitma ba'azara v'nelma mimenu tumah. This is very interesting because the whole first part of the Mishnah of Shnayim Shein Arba doesn't even mention this point, right? It's like a whole new part. We didn't realize before that there's a whole different issue of whether you became tumah in the Beis HaMikdash proper. How come the Mishnah actually doesn't list this? The one is going to ask soon. I mean, why doesn't it list those cases up front? Instead of saying Shnayim, Shein Arba, and so on, we could have also added the additional cases of someone who was Nitma while he was already properly in the Azor. There never was a Bia to the Azor. Yeah, that we'll be talking about. But where does it come from, Bichlal? How do we know that there is such a thing as a whole other Isser of the being tame? Because I mean, what it says before was Veloyetamu et Machanayam Asher Nishachin Betucha. So that means be careful not to come in and be metame. I mean, if somebody was in the Beis HaMikdash already, and then something is metame him, so then how do we know that that is included, Bichlal? The Mishnah says if you don't get out there right away, as fast as possible, so then you're going to be chayiv. Okay, well, the fast as possible, get back to discussing the Shir of Shehiyah, the Shir of Ishtachavoyah, and so on. But how do we know the chlal that there is a korban oil of a yored on this idea of not getting out fast enough? Because otherwise it would be an onus. An onus doesn't bring a korban. Only a shogeg brings a korban. Omar Rabbi Elazar, I'll tell you why. Because there's two different sukkim, almost one after the other. And I mean, like, why does it repeat it? So Ketuv Echad Omer, Kol Anogea B'Meit B'Nefesh Adam Asher Yamud B'Lo Yitchata Et Mishkan Hashem Timei V'Nichrata HaNefesh Hayi MiYisrael. Note the words, Et Mishkan Hashem Timei. Then we have basically the same pasuk, which says Ve'ish Asher Yitma V'Lo Yitchata, all of this in Chukas. So it's there we're talking about the Paraduma. Same words. Isha sheitma v'lo yitchata v'nichrata nefesh ha'im mitocha kahal ki et mikdash Hashem timei. The only difference between these two psukim is that the first one said mishkan Hashem timei and the second one said mikdash Hashem timei. So why do we need these two psukim? It's saying basically the same thing, aren't they? Therefore, Tainis Rabbi Elazar im eino inyan l'tumash b'chutz. So one must be the Isra of coming in to the Beit HaMikdash, and the other is the Isra of staying in the Beit HaMikdash when you came in while you were Tahar. Wait a minute. These are not ex-Sukim, Rabbi Elazar. There's no supposed to derish that. We need both of these Sukim. I'll show you in the bright that says Beferish. So it couldn't be, and this is Rebbe Elazar himself, couldn't be that one of these is an extra pasuk. D'tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer. So this is not Rebbe Elazar that we're asking on. That's the basically really this is Rebbe Elazar the Tana, not Rebbe Elazar who was talking about how we learn it from, which is Rebbe Elazar the Amora. But it is Rebbe Elazar himself who says, Im ne'mar mishkan lama ne'mar mikdash. Why do we have to say both of these? Mishkan, so you have to repeat for Migdash. And im ne'emar Migdash, lama ne'emar Mishkan? I'll tell you why, because I would have thought there's a difference. Let's say the Torah would have only said Mishkan. It wouldn't have said Migdash. I would have said, okay, the fact that a Tomei is not allowed to go into the Mishkan, that makes sense. Because the Mishkan has a level of Kedusha that came from the Shemana Mishka. Shemana Mishka is a tremendous level of Kedusha. But the Migdash never had the Shemana Mishka. So a Migdash, lo yechaya, maybe not. And if it would have only said Migdash, and it wouldn't have said Mishkan, I would have said, well, obviously, you're only chayiv on the Migdash, because the Migdash has a place, a makom that's kavua, right? That's in that place. There the Torah is going to be makbid. Don't walk into that place, Petuma. But the Mishkan, what do you say? Don't walk into the place of Mishkan Betuma, and tomorrow the Mishkan's not even going to be there because the Machan is going to move and the Mishkan's going to move to a new place. I mean, it doesn't make sense that the Torah would be makbid on a place that doesn't have any permanence. So maybe over there would be no Isra of Knisa Betuma. That's why I need both. So therefore, I would have said, HaMikdash only your Chayev, Sharei Kedusha, Tokedusha Tolam, but HaMishkan lo yeh Chayev, Lekach Nema Mishkan. So therefore, it has to tell us you're chayav on both of these. So what is the raya that now our Amora Rebbe Elazar is trying to bring from an extra pasuk that doesn't exist? Says the Gemara, no, Rebbe Elazar, I mean our Rebbe Elazar, our local Rebbe Elazar, who was trying to explain the drosha, he was bothered not by the fact that it's an extra pasuk. Correct. It's not an extra pasuk. Because I need to know that the Isser would be chal bein b'migdash, bein b'mishkan. What was bothering him is, look, the language doesn't make any sense. A mishkan is called a migdash. A migdash is called a mishkan. It isn't the specific use of the words that tell me the difference. So the fact that in one case it says, Et Mishkan Hashem Timei. And the other says Migdash Hashem Timei. It's a mistake if you think that the difference in the terminology is how I know that you're chayav both on Mishkan and on Mikdash. That's not the point. The point is the repetition. The Mishkan and Migdash are interchangeable terms. And therefore, the Torah could easily be referring to a Mishkan and call it a Migdash, or be referring to a Migdash and call it a Mishkan. We'll see that in a minute. So therefore, if the point over here was the redundancy, how do you explain the specificity of Mishkan and Migdash? I'm telling you, look, bottom line is that Mishkan is called Migdash, Migdash is called Mishkan. So you could have written either as Mishkan Hashem Timei twice or as Migdash Hashem Timei, right? And that would have been enough to tell me that there's a chiyuv both on Mishkan and on Migdash. So why do you change the terminology? Why do you say Mishkan u'Migdash? The point over here is to tell me there's two completely different limudim. One, in fact, should be based on the difference between a Mishkan and a Migdash in a technical sense. Namely, that one is permanent, one is impermanent, one is Kodesh B'Kedush HaShem and HaMishkan, the other one isn't. But then there's a separate drush about the fact of the superfluous pasuk. That's coming to tell me what I said, says Rabbi Elazar. Namely, that there is a Chiyav on Tumah Bifnim, just like there is an Oil of Yared, just like there is a Chiyav on Tumah Bechutz. I'm not quite sure I know that a Mishkan is called a Migdash. I know that a Migdash is called a Mishkan. Mishkan and Migdash, he created Mishkan. Because after the base, after the Mishkan was built, and it says over there, Venatati Mishkani betochachem, which was already there. So then that means what it's talking about over here in La'asid is that there's going to be a Migdash, and it calls it a Mishkan. But I don't know how you know that a Mishkan is called a Migdash. I mean, I'm thinking that maybe it's from the pasuk of Vinasu HaKatim Nosei HaMikdash. So the Katim were carrying the Mishkan, and we call it a Migdash. But that doesn't mean anything, because the reason it calls the Katim Migdash, it was talking about the Dvorim HaMakudashim. They were the ones who were carrying the Oren HaBriz. They were carrying the Menorah and so on. So that's why it may be called Migdash, not because it's calling the Mishkan a Migdash, but rather the kelim that are most mekudashim, you know? Now I realize, mihalcha, the Torah, when the original tzivui, va'asuli mikdash, v'shachanti betocham, and then it says, kechol asher ani maraotcha tavnit ha-mishkan. But I thought you said we're supposed to build a mikdash. So obviously, that proves that we're talking about a mishkan, kechol asher ani maraotcha tavnit ha-mishkan, and yet we called it a Sulim Migdash. So we see that we're calling the Mishkan a Migdash. Now, the Mishnah gave us a shir. Either the shir of Ishtachavaya, or the shir of Shaha Bechtei Ishtachavaya. So, what does that mean exactly? Ishtachavaya, does Ishtachavaya have a specific shir? Is that the point? Omar Rava, hold on a second. There's two different issues. You could bow down, and that bowing down will not be b'chai of you. And you could bow down a shiur, and that bowing down will be b'chai of you. So, in a sense, and it's the same thing, right? No. There's two different types of ishtachavoya. If it's a technical ishtachavoya, meaning that you are mishtachavet towards the Beis HaMikdash. So if you were mishtachavet klapei pnim, so then you're going to be chayv right away. Doesn't matter how long it took. But if you were mishtachavah klapei chutz, that's not called ishtachavah. Therefore, the only chiyuv would be not on the act of ishtachavoya, but on the time of the ishtachavoya. And therefore, ishtachavah klapei chutz, it would only be if you were shohet. Shaha, yes. But lo shaha, you wouldn't be chayv. Some say that what Rava actually, there's no difference between these two pshatim. Just the question of how did Rava phrase it in terms of understanding the Mishnah. So some say that Rava actually was talking about the last part of the Mishnah to make it clear. It's very confusing because it says in the Mishnah, Sheshaha Bichdei Hishtachava, so that the din of the Shehiya was as long as it would take to be Mishtachava. So that's very strange because that implies that there is a specific shear of Yishtakavah. But that's a problem, because we said before, if you were Mishtakaveh or Shahar Kedei Yishtakavah. So does Yishtakavah require a particular time or not? And that's what Rava was coming to explain. Omar Rava, there's two different Yishtakavah. So Lo Shalosh Yishtakavah Klape Chutz, then is that's where we have a shiur. And therefore, that becomes the shiur that we're referring to when we say Bichtei Yishtakavah. But Klape Pnim doesn't make any difference. Klape Pnim, Afagav de Lo Sha'ah. So what the Mishnah was saying is, if you were Yishtakavah Klape Pnim, or you were Sha'ha Bichtei Yishtakavah, what type of Yishtakavah? Bahach Yishtakavah de Klape Chutz. So there, that Yishtakavah would require a shear, because it doesn't have a din of Yishtakavah as being Mechayev. So what do we mean by that shear? So, I mean, is there a difference in the act of Yishtakavaya? Yes, that's the point. You can do a fast Yishtakavaya in the sense of, if it's not long enough to be Mechayev, if it weren't Klapei Pnim, then it would be talking about a kriya b'alma, and which we'll explain in a minute. The Yitbashiya, we're talking about a full scale time to Yishtakavaya, that's about the time that takes Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim. So that's a tremendous Havkamina. There, you're prostrating yourself, and it takes time to get on the ground with your feet and your arms fully extended. That's a shiur of the full Yishtakavaya. V'kama shiur shiya. So, okay, I mean, L'maisa. I mean, it's hard for us to know. What is there an easier way to define that shiur where I'm not doing anything? I'm just standing there, and you're telling me it's the shiur of shehiya is that shiur. Well, what is that shiur? So please, about Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni, v'chadi ime, where the chavrusa between Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni or his chavrusa, and some say no, the yikar over here, it's Rav Shimon ben Pazir, his chavrusa. And okay, so who was Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni's chavrusa? Rav Shimon ben Pazir. Rather say it was between Rav Shimon ben Pazir and his chavrusa, who was Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni. So it's simply a question of which one was ime and which one was the yikar. Anyway, who said what? We don't know. But we do know that the Machlokas was like this. One of the above, either Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmeni or Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, one of them said, the shear of Shehiya is as long as it takes to say the pasuk about Yishtakavaya. And one says only as long as it takes from the word vayichru'u, about halfway through, to the end of the pasuk. And what is the pasuk? The pasuk is the pasuk of Divrei HaYomim. V'chol b'nei Yisrael ro'im v'redet ha'esh u'chvod Hashem al ha'boyit. So that's the first part, which is included to one sheet of before and not according to the other. Now comes the part that everybody's but is included. Vayichru'u apayim arza al haritzpa vayishtachavu vodot Hashem kitov ki l'olam chastov. That's the machlokas. Tana Rabbana. The different words that we use when we talk about kida. So kida means that you're mishtachave not by pishut yadayim v'raglayim, but by actually putting your face down to the earth, but without sticking out your hands and your feet all the way. V'cheinu omer, it says, v'tikod bat sheva apayim aretz. So that tikod obviously is a form of kida. So that we had to the Gemara, what happened to Levi when he tried to do that? You know, it's a rather difficult gymnastic exercise to do kida, because you've got to get your head down to the earth while the rest of you is not. And I dare you to try it. Anyway, Levi dislocated one of his vertebrae that way, and he was never able to walk properly again, as the Gemara says, because he was doing a demonstration of kida. So, you know, you hold yourself on your thumbs while the rest of you bow. Your face gets all the way down to the ground. And so that's vatikot. The word kriya is to go on your knees. And it's talking about Shlomo HaMelech, who was saying the tefillah that he said about the what the Beis Hamikdash is for, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come. Mimasha says the whole time he was on his knees. Yishtak Havaa refers to Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, because we see that Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, Havo Navo Ani V'Imecha V'Yachecha Yishtak Havot Lecha Arza. We're going to like be down on the ground in front of you. Oy Rava, what we've been talking about all along is the din of the carbon oil of Yore. How does this apply to the question of the chiyuv of Malkus? So suppose somebody actually was shoyher in the Beis HaMikdash, he knew that he was stomach, and he stays there on purpose. So does he get Malkus only when he's shoyher, or does he get Malkus even without the shear of Shehiyah? And the Edim say to him, you better get out of here immediately. He doesn't get out immediately. But, I mean, he doesn't stay as long as it would take to be Shohet. But he spends another 10 seconds, like, you know, I got all the time in the world, you know. So is that not going out? Because he'd start going out right away. So then he would he be Chayev Malkus in that shear? Is it only a din in Korban that we learned out this whole din of Shehiyah? Or is it actually straight out? So the Korban Gemira Shehiyah, the Malkus Lo Gemira Shehiyah, or is Shehiyah not about your act? Shehiyah is about the violation. Shehiyah simply defines what does it mean when the Torah says the Isser of being in the Beis HaMikdash Petuma as opposed to entering the Beis HaMikdash Petuma. So is that the point? Bifnim, Gemira Shehiyah, that halacha, what it means to be tameh when you didn't walk in Petuma, who cares? Whatever it is, Losh al Karban, Losh al Malkus, either way, it would be a din in Shehiyah because that defines the concept of being there. Don't have a clear raya for that. Boy Rava, Talat Smoba Vira Zoramal. How about if the guy was actually just in midair, and he was not on the ground at all, so that, you know, one of these Indian guys, or he simply climbed up on a flagpole or something, but he's not on the ground, you know. So the Kedushas Azora, in terms of the Isser Mechitzah, extends all the way up. So now the question is, but he can't bow down on top of his flagpole, right? So, is there a din of Shehiyah or not? Ki Gemira Shehiyah, is this whole din about being in the Beis HaMikdash Petuma, is that because it's possible for you to bow down? So it's not just that it's a reference to Yishtach Havah as the Shear, but it actually has to be possible that you should bow down. But the Lav Bat Yishtach Havah, maybe we never were makama this din, Bechalal. O Dilma Bifnim, maybe it's just a din. The definition of being Bifnim is this shear. It's not that you need to be able to be b'shtachava. Lo shna debat ishtachava, v'lo shna delavat ishtachava. That's also teiku. Okay, but tomorrow we've got some other issues, so I can't finish them all tonight, I don't think, fairly. So we'll wish you a wonderful 35th day of the Omer, and looking forward, Bezrat Hashem, to seeing you very, very soon. Go get some sleep, because we're going to be meeting very soon. You know, there's not much time for us. Shavua tov, mevorach. Take care. Go to.